Glory to God. So I'm labeling this set of messages, Taking Your Place in Christ. And we're going to see some insight here. Today, this messages and scriptures, we're entitling A New Man in Christ. So don't tune out. Embrace, accept, because there's insight. Even myself going through this, it was hard to go to sleep last night. My spirit was so alive with the life of Christ that sometimes it's very difficult to go to sleep because of the excitement of the Word of God. The entrance of thy words giveth light. And what does it do? The entrance of His Word gives light. It gives revelation. Or the Scripture says in the Amplified and some of the other translations, CEV, it says, the understanding of your Word brings light. The entrance, Amplified says, the entrance, you've got to let it in. You've got to let this watering, this Word come in. The entrance and unfolding of your Word does what? It brings light. It gives light, and their unfolding gives understanding or discernment or comprehension. So one of the things that I want us to do is turn over to 2 Corinthians 5:17, and we want to look at this familiar scripture. And of course, we've shared from last lessons that Genesis 1, verse 27, God made man in His image and likeness. And so we're going to go through and look at this again. God is a spirit. John 4, 24, God is a spirit. Those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So if God is a spirit and He made us in His image and likeness, then what does that make us? We are a spirit. We're not part spirit, part soul, and part body. We are a spirit. That's the real me. I have a soul, and I live in this body, but I am a spirit. I am a spirit being made in the image and likeness of God. Why? Because He is a spirit, and He communicates. My spirit touches this spiritual realm, the realm that God lives in. My spirit contacts the spiritual realm. My soul contacts the intellectual, or we could say emotional realm. And then your body contacts this physical realm. Does it not? Amen. So, let's look at 2 Corinthians 5:17 with that in mind. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So just stop and think about it. If I am a spirit, who is he? When he said, he is a new creature, who's he talking about? His spirit. He, Paul is saying, he, the spirit, is a new creature. And we know this because when you got born again, this heart of stone was changed to a heart of flesh, was it not? Well, your soul didn't get redeemed. Your body, if you were heavy or you were skinny, you were still heavy and skinny. If you were tall, you were still tall. If you were short, you might want to be tall, but you're still short. Your soul did not change. Old things about your soul didn't pass away. Old things about your body did not pass away. It's still the same after you got changed. So when this says here, he is a new creature, he's talking about he, the spirit. See, we could read right over that and just say, well, he's talking about whatever you think it is. But see here, it's saying he, the spirit, is a new man, a new creature. The New Living says the old life is gone, a new life has begun. The Amplified says the old previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come. The Philip says the past is finished and gone. Everything has become fresh and new. Well, we know he's not talking about your mind, or your soul, your emotions. You know he's not talking about your body. He's talking about your spirit. Your spirit is brand new. And here's the other thing. It was recreated. So now when you look at the scriptures, why would the Holy Spirit inspire Paul to say, be not conformed? Well, no, let's back up. Let's look at Romans 12, 1 and 2. So what does it say in Romans 12, 1? Let me turn over there. See, if you didn't have to change in your mind, then why would God say through the Apostle Paul? Why would he say that? Romans 12, 1 and 2, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you do what? You present your bodies a living sacrifice acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you can do what? Prove what is that acceptable and perfect will of God. So here he's talking about you got to present your body. That didn't change. And your soul. That didn't change. It's got to be renewed. It's got to be restored. But your spirit is brand new. You don't need to restore your spirit. It's perfect. It's been recreated into God. God is now living in that. It's been changed. What do you have? Let's look at some other scriptures here. Your spirit has the life of God in it. So the word new here means that it's unheard of before. It means it's new in quality, in kind. So you're not just a forgiven sinner. You are a new creation with a new kind of life. See, this is how, when you start meditating on this and you start seeing what the three parts of you are that's made up, you begin to see how the devil has access. He doesn't have access to your spirit. God is saying here, there's two areas that you need to get fixed, because if you don't, this realm that you live in, the devil has access, or could have access. He could have access to what? Your soul, your emotions, and your body. And God is saying, those two things right there, you need to work on, so that you can stand strong against the wiles of the devil. And these things also hinder, if they don't get fixed and corrected, if they don't get strengthened, it hinders you taking your place in Christ. It does. Because you'll constantly be doing what? Walking by sight and not by faith. Amen. So 1 John, I'm going to read this. You don't need to turn there. 1 John 5:11, and this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. So we have eternity or eternal life living in us. We have the Zoe life of God living inside of us. That makes us something. Hallelujah. And God sees us through the blood of Jesus. He sees us through the blood. He looks at you as though you've never done anything wrong. Your slate is clean. Hallelujah. And the blood cleanses us. Think about the song, the lyrics. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. He sees us through the blood. Amen. Like nothing, like you've not done anything wrong, nothing. See, now what pulls you back into this realm? Your soul, your mind. Your mind goes and pulls on those things you've done. How could God ever love me? And you're saved. But if you don't get your mind renewed, if it doesn't get saved, you will never stand in the authority that God has given you. You will never take your place in Christ because you'll still be over here in the soulish realm thinking about all that's going on in society. Everybody's against me. This, that, and the other. And you won't look at what God says about you. Think about this. You are a new creature that's never existed before. You need God to introduce you to yourself. And how does he do that? He does it through the Word of God. He literally introduces you to yourself through the Word. Because you didn't know anything. You're brand new. You don't know nothing about yourself. You never existed before. And God's got to take his Word and introduce you to yourself. Who? A new person. And if you don't feed on that, you'll walk through life like the old man. You'll keep walking like this. I'm just a dummy. I'm this, I'm that. I'm never going to make it. Society's against me, blah, blah, blah. And then God has said, no, you can do all things through Christ. And if you don't embrace it, if you don't water and keep watering, you'll get pulled back into the natural, into the soulish realm. And you'll never walk in the benefits of Christ. You never will. You'll bump through life. That goes for all of us. Every single one of us live in this body, and we have to get our minds renewed constantly. It's a lifelong process. It's a process that every one of us has to walk through. Everyone. And you live in this body, you're going to fight it. It wants to do stuff that you just like, oh. Right? Isn't it true? Glory to God. So God has given us a new quality of life in Christ. He has given us his own life, the very same life that raised Christ from the dead. Hallelujah. Ephesians 4:2-4 says, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath done what? Quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together. When he was raised, I was raised, and I was seated with him in Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I've got to embrace that, receive it. Romans chapter 8, verse 10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. See? So this body is dead because of sin. But what does it say? But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. My spirit is got eternal life in it now. It's perfect. No sin in it. Life, light is in it. That's what the devil is fighting. He sees Christ in you. It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ who lives in me. He sees the one he hates in you. And he trembles at it. Hallelujah. I told you this story one time. I tell you, it bears repeating. I remember when my sister was getting married, she had this is many, many, many years ago. They were having a bridal shower, and the man she was marrying, he was from Chile. They live in Chile, and they're still happily married, and he's coming to Christ. But I remember I was in my room. He said, let's talk. So we went out and I'm full of the word. I'm just talking the word to him. I was. And no outward appearance, nothing didn't appear that he was riled up or angry. No visual expression, no body language, nothing. And then he began to talk about his contact. He said, oh yeah, I talked to God. I talked to my contact. And I had some experience. I said, that sounds like familiar spirits to me. That is not God. And in an instant, I'm telling you, in an instant, so quick, it was like this. He jumped up from the table and stood right in front of my face, just like this. Eyes beat red and beat his chest, just like this, and said, the devil lives in here. It happened so quick, it caught me, as they say, by surprise. Jumped right up here like that. There was no visual warning. And that quick, just as quick as he stood up, it was like a coat. It was the presence of God. It was the power of God. It went, it dropped on me. That quick, I didn't expect it. It all happened in split seconds. Not even a second, split seconds. And up out of my spirit, it just come up. I pointed at him and I said, Roberto, I am not afraid of the demons or devils. I'm protected by the blood of Jesus. I couldn't think that fast. It came right up out of my spirit. I'm protected by the blood. And I'll tell you what he did. He did this. He walked out of the room with his head hung. And he wouldn't look at me. If he walked in the room, he would turn his head the other way. Why? Because he knew who I was in Christ. That's what I'm talking about. When you know who you are in Christ and that revelation is alive, you can walk in this earth and demons and devils will tremble. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to fear. God lives in me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So this life, this Zoe life, is this eternal life the Father has in himself. John 5:26, for as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. Oh, but it doesn't stop there, does it? John 10:10 says, it says here, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come. Who? Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So the Father gave this life to the Son, and when we accept Christ, this eternal life comes into us and we have life, Zoe life, and it says we're to have it more abundantly. Glory to God. So John, I like some of these other translations. The Williams translation says, I have come for people to have life and have it till it overflows. Oh, boy, I'll tell you, when this life overflows, when it runs out and overflows, it's going to change some things, not just me, but the world. Amen. The Beck translation, I came so that they will have life and have it overflowing in them. The Weiss translation, it says, I alone came in order that they might be possessing life and that they might be possessing it in superabundance. I have life in me. I have his life. Remember years ago we used to sing this song, I have the life of God in me. I have the life of God in me. I have his life, his nature, and his ability. I have the life of God in me. Hallelujah. Those little ditties come up every now and then, and you sing them and confess them. I have the life of God in me. I have his life, his nature, and what? His ability. I have the life of God in my spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Isn't that exciting? Glory to God. So we have this life in ever-increasing measure. Hallelujah. And as we're filled with the Word of God and by His Spirit. So God sees us through the blood, and we're a new creature in Christ. So He sees us in Christ. So now let's look at John 16. You can turn over there for a minute. John 16, verse 13, 14, and 15. So the Holy Spirit takes things of Christ and shows them to us. That's how He reveals. He's going to take the Word of God and reveal it to us. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. What is He going to do? He's going to guide us into all truth. For He shall not do what? Speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. Hallelujah. So we're not doing this by ourselves. He unfolds and reveals. The entrance of His Word brings light. The unfolding and revealing of His Word does what? It brings light. It brings life to my spirit. Changes my soul. Verse 14, He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are Mine. Therefore said I that He shall take of Mine and shall show it unto you. So no more should we say, I don't see this in the Word. I don't understand this. Because now you're lying on God. Now you ought to stay by faith. Even when you don't, what does faith do? Faith speaks of those things that it desires and hopes. So when you don't understand, that's the time to say. You call those things that what? Be not. You begin to say, thank You, Holy Spirit, for unfolding and revealing the Word of God to me. Thank You. And you keep saying it every day. This is what Ephesians, turn over there, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 16 and 17, 18 and through 23, it talks about Paul. It says here, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Why is he praying that? Because he desires that to be in them. He's praying in faith that God would give them a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may what? Know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead, set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion in every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put, not gone to, He hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. So this realization, this understanding comes through the Word of God, but it has to be revealed and shown to us by His Spirit. That's what He's here for. Part of it. Listen to some of these translations of verse 16. This is called the Distilled Bible. I don't know why they call it distilled. That's what they called it. It says, I pray that you new Christians will understand the mighty position with Christ which your congregations occupy. Isn't that exciting? There's a mighty position that we have in Christ, and it says here, which your congregations. So he's praying, I pray that you understand what your position is, what your mighty position is. See, if you're not getting that revealed, if you're not feeding and watering, you don't understand what your position is in Christ. You don't understand the mighty place that you're seated. You think you're in the world just kind of fighting everybody. But Christ is in you. Eternal life is in you. You're seated in heavenly places in Christ. Hallelujah. This is the Williams translation. It says, wisdom and revelation which come through a growing knowledge of Him. So wisdom and revelation is going to come through a growing knowledge of Him. So we have a mighty position with Christ. And so few Christians have understood the authority that they have as believers. We are His workmanship created in Christ. Hallelujah. We're His workmanship. Glory to God. We're somebody in Christ. Glory to God. Now I want to just take a few minutes. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Hope you're getting a little something to stir your heart here. Something to feed upon. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And it says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you can turn over to Hebrews 4:12. These are familiar scriptures. But I want to just take a few moments here and explain so that we can walk out of here, and I know most of you do, but we water, we keep watering. What the difference is between your spirit and your soul and your body, and they're not the same. See, now it's easy to say, well, I can see the difference between my body and my soul. That's easy. But it's not as easy to differentiate between your soul and your spirit. And the scripture explains. So we need to look at scripture to determine and clearly see what's the difference. And we can see there is a difference. Some people get around and say, well, the spirit and the soul are the same. If that's so, then the scripture is not true. And scripture says that he said right here in 1 Thessalonians 5, he said that I pray your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved. So there are three parts. And Hebrews 4:12 says, and the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of what? Soul and spirit. So they're not the same. And it says, in the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So the inward man, the man's spirit, he's the one that has become a new creature in Christ. Your soul didn't. So you should be able to distinguish right away. My spirit got changed, but my mind, if I came out of the gutter, living a gutter life, it's still kind of in there. Now, yes, regeneration of the spirit did affect your thinking, and it will, but it's the power of the Word of God that's going to do what? Transform it. It's going to change it. And that's through the constant feeding on the Word of God. So there's a difference between the spirit and the soul. Amen. Your spirit is brand new. It does not have to be, as it said here, it doesn't have to be transformed. It was recreated. It's brand new. It has life, eternal life in it. Amen. So, turn over to James. Let's go over to James chapter 1. Isn't it good that scripture, I like what Dr. Hutton said when he was here, in order to be scripturally accurate, he said, I've got to look at scripture with other scripture. Truth interprets truth. And so if it's truth, then I should be able to look at scripture and find other scripture that interprets it. James chapter 1 and verse 21, it says, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Well, that's a lot to say. and receive with meekness what? The engrafted word, which is able to save what? Oh, it doesn't say your spirit. It says save your soul. So that means when you look at this word save, it's the same word sozo. It's the same Greek word to save. That means when you save something, this word, let me read some of the it means the ability to restore, renew, save, protect, deliver, heal. So really, you could read that scripture verse. You could say that, where did I write this here? Yeah. It says, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save, heal, protect, preserve, make well, and make your soul well. Yeah. See, when your soul is troubled, it needs to be renewed. It needs to be transformed. See, you spend enough time looking at stuff in this world, you could be troubled. You need to have God introduce you to yourself in the Word of God and feed upon that. So you walk and you say, hey, this is what God says about me. Because remember, the devil comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. And he will destroy if he gets access to your soul and your body. He don't have access to your spirit. Anybody who's listened to Brother Hagin through the years, when he said when he'd get over in the spirit sometimes, God would show him. And there were a few, he talks about a few individuals that entertained in their soul. They entertained a spirit. And they began to talk to them. And they yielded to it. And he said, God said, don't pray for that person. They want this. And unless they come against it, he said, there's nothing you can do. Because why? God can't override another person's soul or will. And so when they want something, then he showed him in the spirit. He said it was like a black dot in their head, and they kept entertaining it. And then he said it went from their head down into their heart, and he said when it got in their heart, this person literally said, I reject Christ. I don't want you anymore. And he said they went through life, and he said as far as he knew, that person was damned. See, so the devil can get access, and that's why protecting, restoring, and renewing your soul is a protection against the wiles of the devil. That allows you to stand strong, because we're going to have these, he is an adversary, and he is meant to come to kill and steal and destroy. He can't kill your spirit. He can't destroy your spirit unless you let him in. And the gateway is your soul. And that's why this position we have in Christ is so key. Hallelujah. Glory to God. One other scripture here I'm looking at. James, and it says here that we need to do more. When we look at James 1, verse 21, but look at verse 22. So it's not just receiving the word. See, because what does it say here? It says, verse 22. It says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So you've got to not only lay it apart, and it says here, receive the engrafted word. That word engrafted in the vines means to implant or to engraft, either way. So the word of God has to be implanted into the soul of man. And that has the ability and the power to change or to save your soul. So the engrafted word has to be implanted, and it has the power within it to save your soul. But that's not enough. You've got to be a doer of the word of God, right? Otherwise, you deceive yourself. Glory to God. So this, one last scripture here, we close up. Ephesians chapter 4. There's scripture going through, we can see here, supporting Romans 12, 1, Joshua 1, 8. You can look at all of these scriptures. John 6, 63, it says, the word is spirit and life. So the word of life has the ability to restore, to renew, save, protect, deliver, and heal the soul of man. Amen. So Ephesians 4, and let's look at verse 23. Actually, you could back up to 22. It says, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. And then what does it say? And be renewed. See, what is it talking? What is it? It has a semicolon in my Bible. I think it is. Yeah, which means the thought's continuing. So when it says corrupt, he's not talking about your spirit. He's not talking about your spirit. He's talking about what? Your soul. And what does it say? It confirms that. It says, and be renewed, what? In the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which is after God, is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, and he goes on and he starts talking about it. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for you are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. And he goes on. These are the things that do what? These are the things that are in your soul. These are thoughts and attitudes that we have. And they get what? Changed. When we receive the engrafted word, which is able to change and save our souls. And because of that, then my spirit and my soul, which are in agreement, I can begin to stand in this place in Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Isn't that good? Amen. I'm excited about, how many are excited about it being a new creature? I'm a brand new person in Christ. I can do all things through Christ who does what strengthens me. Hallelujah. I'm more than a conqueror in Christ. I'm not defeated. I'm an overcomer. Now, here's the thing. Your mind, your soul, your emotions may think you're defeated. How do you change that? Through the word of God and the acting upon it, the rehearsing, the constant watering. Remember I said, Brother Hagin said, some are not as successful in their faith walk because they reject the watering and repetition process. If you are feeling defeated or you feel like the world is against you and conditions and society is against you, how do you change that? The first step is deal with your soul. You're a new creature in Christ. It may not change the conditions that you're walking through. It may not. If society is the way it is, then it may be that way. But it doesn't have to affect you. Because God can cause you to rise above that and to see it from how he sees it. And empower you to walk through it and out of it. And not be affected by it. Amen. Glory to God. We are in Christ. Hallelujah. And we have his authority, his nature, and his ability. Glory to God. Say that. I have his nature. I have his ability. I am in Christ. And my soul is being renewed. Glory to God. Bless God. Father, we thank you today. Thank you for your word. Thank you that it's changing our souls. Thank you that it's restoring our souls. Thank you that it's changing our bodies. Thank you that it's giving life. The same spirit that raised Christ's dead body from the grave, from the dead, is working in us. It's changing and pushing sickness and disease and maladies out of our body. It's changing our soul. It's restoring it. And we're thinking like you, God, in this earth. Hallelujah. God is desiring that his body be established. Not just his body with brand new creatures in Christ, but he's looking for a body that's restored and renewed, not just in its spirit, but in its mind and soul. Hallelujah. See, this is what it's talking about. Even this, you can look at, the Spirit of God is just reminding me. What does it say over in Ephesians when it talks about the gifts that God has put in the body? The apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher for the perfecting of the saints till we all come into the unity of Christ. How are you going to come into unity? Your soul. Your soul. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God is looking to establish his body so that it walk in power and might in this earth. Hallelujah. And we're getting there. We're getting there. In Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Bless God. Bless God. Bless God. Hallelujah. These kind of things stir my spirit, not only my spirit, my soul. Because the more we get our souls renewed and changed, we begin to walk like this new man that's inside. I begin to think like that new man inside. Because this soul can get in the way. Amen. But it's getting less in the way. It's getting kicked and changed. Amen. If you're here today, and just before we dismiss, if you're here today,